Customize your data experience. BestLink now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company-level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
Welcome to AM Best Audio.
A court has released a new study titled U.S. Specialty Commercial Insurance Market, The Keys to High Performance. The study highlights what drives success in this diverse and rapidly expanding sector. It also identifies top-performing specialty carriers, explores the differentiators behind superior results, and examines the strategic challenges ahead. I'm John Weber for AM Best Audio, and I'm speaking today to Dave Sterner, head of research at Accord, to discuss the key findings. Dave, so glad you could join us today.
Thank you, John. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here and share some of our insights.
I'm looking forward to hearing them, Dave. So what prompted Accord to conduct this study on the specialty commercial insurance market?
Well, we've done a number of studies over the years that were more broad-based across the market. So looking at P&C and life insurance globally and in the U.S. And in the past, we've done some deep dives. I think we did a couple with AM Best a few years ago. And when we look at the recent trends in the U.S. P&C market, what we found was the commercial, overall commercial market has been growing pretty healthily. And then when we did a deep dive into that, we found that the specialty commercial specifically has had a lot of strong growth. And in terms of, you know, where Accord, as the global standards body in the industry, has been, working and making investments in terms of the standards we develop, there was definitely a need in this particular space around data standards. And we were seeing a lot of investment in various capabilities in this particular space in the industry. So that was, kind of really what prompted this study.
Dave, the report shows that 65% of E&S and 84% of admitted specialty carriers achieve superior performance. Pretty interesting statistics there. So what factors are driving that success?
Yeah, the admitted market results were not exactly, directionally were not a surprise. We did expect that there was going to be, higher levels of profitability in that line based on, kind of our initial research. But we were surprised by the numbers, right? So when we looked at the admitted space in this study, we isolated that business from commercial lines carriers overall. So there is, we segmented out the E&S business, and we focused on just admitted, and then we identified the top 50 carriers, which was about 70-80% of the admitted market in the U.S. And when we applied our profitability measures, which we looked at operating ratios and combined ratios, and we found that 84%, which was about 42 of the 50 carriers that we looked at, met our criteria for superior performance, which was both a combined and operating ratio of less than 100. When we dove into those particular companies, what we found was that these organizations tended to really focus on very specific, well-defined classes of business. They focused on risks that were, where they had data, where they could, the certainty around underwriting, where they could, manage those books of business. And that was, kind of the key driver for the performance in that admitted space. When we looked at the E&S market, it was a much different picture. Still a significant performance in terms of the majority of the companies in performing at a high level there. A little bit of a better performance overall because there was a larger number of carriers. So that 64% was based on, I think it was 194 individual companies because we basically looked at all of the surplus, professional surplus lines companies that we could identify. And it came out to be about 194 single companies, right? And a lot of those were part of larger groups. So when you look at that number and look at that 64%, it was pretty telling there. And I think that, one of the obvious drivers there, and I think this applies to the admitted market as well, is that, we've been in a period period of a long period of hard rates, even though that tends to be moderating. But within the not admitted market, we found some characteristics there where these companies, the higher performers, tended to operate more on a decentralized structure. Relationships and accountability with distribution partners was key to this because of the unique natures of these risks. And there wasn't a lot of data available for them. They were very much bespoke from one to the other. A lot of niche lines of business in here. So having those very strong distribution partner risks or relationships was key in that space.
So let's drill down a little bit deeper on the non-admitted market, Dave. How do superior performers in E&S approach the market differently than others?
Yeah, I think it goes towards that deep understanding of the marketplace, and from a carrier perspective, which this study, as I should note, focused from the carrier perspective. So having that deep expertise is oftentimes relies on the very strong distribution partners. And when we looked at the capabilities across the E&S carriers, there was definitely a concentration in enabling those companies to foster and maintain those relationships. So things like ease of doing business, having the capabilities to ingest data from various formats and sources, and being able to be more of a collaborative approach, a collaborative business partner with their distribution channels around those very, very specific and niche markets. And that kind of differentiates them a bit from the rest of the market.
So often we hear about the importance of disciplined underwriting. What role does underwriting excellence play in separating top performers from the rest?
That was probably one of the biggest areas. I would say that having the right tool set and the knowledge to do that was key. And unlike maybe other lines of or other areas or segments of the industry where there's maybe more latitude in terms of underwriting, in terms of sources of information and expertise, in the specialty lines area, it's much more critical. And having those, again, the relationships with the distribution channels, having access to the right data, right, is key for that.
Now, the study notes challenges like data fragmentation and underwriting complexity. So, Dave, which of these do you see as the most urgent to solve?
I think these got to go hand in hand. I'll start out by saying that because I do believe data ultimately is the most important for this. But I think that they are sort of one in the same almost, because when you look at sort of the underwriting complexity, a lot of the challenges that we face there is the availability of data, right? Because we're talking about very specific risks, very unique risks. The customers are all very different from one another. And again, because we're doing a lot of information or gathering and sort of almost field underwriting for a lot of these lines, the information coming into the carrier is coming in various formats. So you're getting a lot of structured and unstructured data. On the other side, a lot of the capabilities and a lot of the investments are in capabilities that we're seeing, things like underwriting software and that sort of thing, artificial intelligence, those kinds of capabilities, they do require a lot of information and data, and getting that information put in good order and so that it can be fed into these systems and processes is critical. So I think that the data availability and the formats and how they come in and the quality and relevancy of that data can complicate sort of the underwriting and make it more more complex. So I think for, when we saw the high performers, the ones that, tended to focus on addressing the data situation first, tended to be ahead of the game.
You mentioned capabilities. Now, I know you get asked this question a lot, so I'm going to ask it too. Which capabilities should companies be focusing on?
Yeah, that's a challenging question to ask for or to answer for this particular segment of the business, because again, you know, we're dealing with companies and insureds customers that are very unique from one to the other, and the capability requirements for companies really depends on, or is essentially that it's aligned with the strategy of the companies, the carriers, you know, which product lines are they offering, you know, where are they stronger or weaker, what customer segments are they targeting, which just distribution channels, all of that has to align, and that will dictate or help determine sort of which capabilities are more important than others. And so the question, and when we looked at sort of all of these different companies and kind of, you know, where they focus, there was a lot of variability, and it did focus on, was driven by those differences. However, when we looked across these capabilities, we did find a number of guiding principles, and they're highlighted in the paper that kind of summarizes this this study, and which is available on our website. But those guiding principles focus. There's six of them on there. The things like focusing on core strengths. So you know, focusing on the product lines or the customer segments where, you know, the carrier has the most success, where they have the most expertise. You know, strengthening decision making with data. And here again, I will hammer home the point that, you know, data is key to all of this, and kind of the critical point here. So having, you know, capabilities that address the ability to ingest and analyze and leverage data at all points, you know, in the value chain is important. Ease of doing business is a key point here. Again, we're working with a heavily intermediated segment of the industry. And so, you know, being able to conduct business with, you know, distribution partners, whether they're, you know, wholesalers, MGAs, retail brokers, independent agents, whatever the distribution mode is, you know, making it easy for those companies to transact business is critical, particularly as competitive pressures, you know, continue to rise. Strategic flexibility was another area. So as companies look to their capability landscape, you know, being able to adjust to changing market conditions, because we see that happening pretty rapidly, you know, as the economy shifts, as we look at potentially moderation in premium rates, and then, you know, different exposures, we've got emerging risks. So there's a lot of challenges coming ahead that would require, you know, companies to adjust on the fly. And so having that strategic flexibility is critical. And then organizational clarity and alignment. So again, that gets to that point around, you know, having your capability structure aligned with the overall strategy. And I think one of the most important things to note here is when people read the study or when they hear us, if we're presenting it, is that there is this notion, and I think it's common in the industry, to want to, you know, transform everything immediately, right? Big projects, we got to rip and replace. But what we found across both the admitted and non-admitted carriers in the superior categories is that they, you know, focused more on an incremental approach, right? So they had a more incremental approach to innovation, which was, you know, starting out sort of, you know, across the value chain, across the organization, and then looking for fast wins, areas where they're making some significant impacts, and then going down deep in those particular areas and taking this off sort of in easily digestible chunks where they can address, you know, and send resources and do it more of a stepwise basis. So that was probably one of the most important kind of guiding principles that we found across those superior performers.
Interesting. Dave, are you finding that talent shortages and technology gaps are impacting specialty insurers' ability to sustain high performance?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's definitely an intersection there as well, particularly with the advances that we're seeing and the opportunities we're seeing around the role of AI in this. But, you know, the industry as a whole, we know the story around the talent shortage, the need to retain talent. and attract talent into the industry. And the thing about the specialty commercial market is it's so dependent on high degrees of expertise, you know, at all areas, right? Not just the carriers. This study focuses on carriers, but, you know, in our agents and brokers and our distribution partners and any other stakeholders in the industry, this is the need for a high degree of expertise that often takes, you know, years to develop, you know, even outside of school for new people entering the market. Having that, addressing that talent situation is absolutely critical. And here, you know, I think technology is going to play a big role, enabling the talent that we do have to be able to focus on higher value tasks and more complex cases. And some of the folks that we've been talking to actually, you know, increasing job satisfaction, right, by eliminating some of the more sort of mundane tasks and those sorts of things. So I think technology is going to be a key to this. At the same time, right, we know the story around, you know, current legacy systems and those kinds of things and sort of the technology barriers that we have to implementing a lot of the capabilities that we wanted to do. However, you know, I think what we're kind of starting to see now is that there's new tooling and new options of deploying some of these technologies that are making it increasingly accessible to organizations that may have struggled here in the past. You know, one of the surprising things that we saw when we did this study was in the past, we tended to see, you know, real strong cases of capability deployment that were, you know, kind of targeted or kind of concentrated in companies that, you know, had a lot of resources, right? They were big organizations, or they were really small and nimble organizations that could, you know, adjust and implement because they didn't have, you know, giant footprints, or they were startups and those kinds of things. But what we found in this study is when we went into the value chain and looked at capabilities there across our superior companies, and the neat thing about the specialty spaces, you've got a nice wide range of company sizes in here, given the nature of the market. We found that companies across all sizes were now doing a lot more than we've seen in the past. And we attribute some of that to a lot of that tooling that's coming out and some of the more advanced or evolutionary distribution or deployment models that are being leveraged today.
So looking ahead, Dave, what strategies will be most critical for specialty carriers to maintain a competitive edge in this market?
Yeah, I think the most important thing is going to be around data and technology. We also have another study that we're currently working on in the digital maturity space across the industry. And what we're finding is, and the comment I just made about, you know, more and more companies are having access or being able to deploy more advanced technologies, we're entering this era where you need to transform, you need to digitize and leverage the technologies that are coming out there or get left behind. Really, that's the theme there. We're no longer able to go along as business as usual from a capability standpoint and hope to succeed in this market. So we're going to have companies that are going to, you know, continue to focus on niche markets, are going to focus on their core strengths and areas where they do well. And we'll see a lot more in the area of alignment, right, with those strategies, with how they deploy technology and people and process.
Interesting study. Dave, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you so much, John. I appreciate the opportunity.
That was Dave Sterner, head of research at Accord, and I'm John Weber for AM Best Audio.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.